understanding God's secret and God's revelation. Understanding God's secret and God's revelation. The lesson is taken from the book of Deuteronomy 29:29. While many other passages and texts will be brought in, but the whole lesson surrounds the truth that came from God's mouth to Moses and the Israelites to the effect that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belongeth unto man. We have not yet touched much on the things that belong to man. Last week we spent most of the time dealing with the secret things. And this week we will still be on the secret things. Last week, among the statement that was made that we must keep in mind, in reference to the truth in Deuteronomy 29:29, is the fact that on account of God's incomparable greatness and excellence, on account of that, God cannot bring his plan and his work, at least all of what God would like us to know, God cannot bring his plans and his work and how he operates within the comprehension of his creature, human being, because we are limited. If God wishes to share with us all of his secret, we would not be able to understand it. Among other things, of course, because they are God's secret. If he should select a few of us and say, I'm going to share this secret with you, we couldn't wait to tell it. That's right. You can see. Let us hear Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Let us hear that passage. Romans 11, 33.
Oh, the depth of the riches, both of
them. Start again.
Oh, the depth.
Oh, the depth
of the riches.
Of the riches.
Both of the wisdom and knowledge.
Both. Wait. There is a depth to riches. God's knowledge and wisdom. That's what the passage. So it started with an exclamation. Oh, the depth of riches, both of his
wisdom and knowledge.
Wisdom and his knowledge. Read.
Of God.
How unsearchable. We talk about research. When we talk about research, it simply means you are investigating to know more about something. That's right. Now, if you should spend the rest, let's say you're a teenager now, and you should spend the rest of your life researching God. The passage is going to tell us that God is past finding out. Read, brother.
Oh, unsearchable.
Oh, unsearchable.
Are his judgments.
Are his judgments.
And his ways past finding out.
And his ways are past finding out. We are still talking about the secret of God. Why God have secret? Because of the limitation of man. With all the capacity of our intellect, we are still limited. And the passage here in Romans 11:33 tells us that God's ways are beyond research, past finding out. In last week's lesson, we ended on the point of some divine, sacred things. We ended on the point that some of these divine sacred things are all together unknowable. I repeat, that's what we ended on, that while some of God's sacred things were meant to be unfolded, to be revealed in the future, some of God's sacred things were meant to remain unknowable, that God meant that man, as long as this earth lasts, it matters not how we research. Some of them we will not know about them, at least not in this life. I posed the question last week, why God permit the suffering of a sinless child? Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the great questions that has plagued men. In fact, men and women have become atheists as a result of this, what we call the problem of evil or the problem of suffering. Men and women feel that if there is in fact a loving, gracious, kind God, how could God permit an innocent child to suffer? And that happens. They are sinless infant who has never committed a sin, who die of starvation. Sometimes thousands of them in places like Africa in times of drought and famine. Sometimes a child suffers because of the selfishness, inconsiderateness, irresponsibleness of parents. Are we all there? A father will go out and earn and end up at the rum bar or the gambling shop, losing everything, and takes nothing home to take care of his family. That's right. And the children and others in that home suffered. Why God permit this? Wait. Let us be careful that we do how we blame God for every human failure. Very important. I'm not going to be tempted to go into that area, but I repeat, let us be careful how we blame God for every human failure. Watch here. Man is a morally responsible being. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? God did not make us as robots. Like you press a button and we must act in a certain way. You press and that. No. the Almighty God gives us freedom of choice. Ladies and gentlemen, that carries responsibility. When you and I make a wrong choice, not only do we suffer, those under our care suffer. The world, if it's made by a just God, could not be different. So let us be careful or we blame. But the fact is, God has the power to stop certain things. In his own wisdom, he sees reason not to stop it. That God acknowledged children as innocent. Listen to Jonah, chapter 4, verse 9 following. Listen to Jonah, 4, 9 following. Let us hear it. And this God passage is showing that God acknowledges children as innocent and sinless.
And God said to Jonah.
Wait, this was after Jonah got mad with God. After Jonah got mad, vexed with God, because the Almighty God made a decision to show mercy to Nineveh because Nineveh repented. Read.
Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?
God is speaking. Do you do well, Jonah, for being angry?
For the gourd?
For the gourd? Wait. All this I didn't want to go into, but a lot of time we take too much for granted. Well, in other, God is the greatest teacher. He ought to be. Because when God saw how Jonah was mad because God shows mercy to some human being, thousands upon thousands of human beings, Jonah got mad. May I? When you and I go teaching a man or woman about hell, we must make sure that we also let the person understand that God does not want anybody to go to hell. Because a lot of times we can teach a message or preach a message that we do not understand. Jonah did not understand the message that he was asked to deliver to Nineveh. So what the Almighty God did when he saw Jonah vexation, because God decided to show mercy. The Almighty God made a gourd. That's a plant. You town people are too civilized to know gourd. My grandfather used to use the gourd to carry water up in the hill where he cultivate. It keeps water cool. That's right. The Almighty God made that a gourd tree sprung up overnight. Read. And withered away. Read, brother. Wait. He was so mad that he responded to God. What a man Jonah was. But basically, Jonah was a godly person, but lacked knowledge of God. He said to God, I do well to be angry. Read, brother.
Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored.
You don't labor for the gourd?
Neither madest it grow.
You didn't make the gourd tree grow?
Which came up in a night.
The gourd tree came up in one night?
And perished in a night.
And it perished in a night.
And should not I spare Nineveh?
Then Jonah, now since you are so concerned about a plant, brothers and sisters, we must learn to have our priority in the right place.
That's right.
That's one of our problems in life, you know. We have our priority mixed up. We do not know where to put certain thing as important. In fact, I think in the lesson for tonight, having nothing to do with this, is where Jesus Christ talk about the weightier things. Mm-hmm. That's one of the passage, hopefully, I'm not sure, that will come into play in reference to the lesson tonight. The weightier things of the law. Wait. In God's scheme of things, there are always some things that are more important than others. Wait, we as Christians must make sure we know the important things, that we do not leave them behind. Amen. Read on, brother. Uh-huh. Listen this now. Uh-huh. That's almost 750,000. One score is what, 20 now? Okay, that's right. 6 times 20 is 120. That's right, not 750,000. 120,000. Who? Read.
That cannot discern.
You know who is that? Children. Infant. Why did we come to this passage? To show that the Almighty God acknowledges the innocence of children, their sinlessness, that cannot do what?
Discern between their right hand and their left hand.
You ask an infant, is this your left hand or right hand? That's foolish. An infant doesn't know which is right from which is left. What the Almighty God was saying, that in this city, there was over 120,000 infants. God is reasoning with Jonah. What is the point? Why God permit suffering of sinless children? Wait, why has God permit the suffering of a Christ-like man or woman? Why? Brothers and sisters, I can tell you different things that I think. I can go to the Bible and read passages, but that would not be the totality of God's reason. What is the point? There are certain things about God's sacred that are altogether unknowable. You and I will never know them because God does not intend for us to know them. Look at John chapter 9. A passage most, if not all of us here know. St. John chapter 9, verse 1 through verse 3. Let us hear it.
And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth.
Mm-hmm.
And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents?
Jesus Christ passed by. There was a man that was blind from his birth. What does that mean? He was born blind. The disciple confronted Jesus Christ with this dilemma. Who sinned?
This man.
Now, watch here now. Their assumption is wrong, as many of our assumptions. They just took for granted that it is somebody's sin that made this man born blind. It was nobody's sin. Read on.
Who sinned, this man?
Who sinned, this man? You notice how they assume just like we do? We do not come to some situation with an open mind. We do not come to some situation and say, I'm not sure about that. Let me see if I can find out more. They came with made up mind that it is either this or that. That's the ignorant way to approach things we do not know about. Jesus Christ said to them, neither this man nor his parents, you are wrong on both counts. What is the point? How does it relate to this lesson? That here is, are you there with me?
Yes,
here is a man born, infant, a few hours old, and from then to a grown man, having to depend all of his childhood days, all of his adulthood days, depending on somebody to lead him about. Why God permit that? Well, I'll ask you a question. Now, I do not know all the reason, but I'll ask you a question. If the Almighty God created man, doesn't God have the right to create man for whatever purpose he wants? Huh? I believe I pointed out to you the first time I've driven in what you call prototype motor vehicle. Because our granddaughter Samantha, father was one of the top engineers at Ford Motor Company. And he, the prototype motor vehicle are motor vehicles that are made as experiment, and after they drive them, engineer at Ford, drive them around for a few weeks or a few months, they take them back and mash them up. They'll strip them. They cannot go on the road and be sold because they are prototype. So the first time I drove in one, and Ernie said, Mr. Mitchell, this is a prototype. I said, what does that mean? He said, within a few weeks or months, this vehicle will be dismantled in pieces. We cannot sell this vehicle to anybody. I said, I wish they would give it to me. That's right. Nice, you know. Now, the point is, does Ford or GM had the right to make prototype, nice, pretty vehicle, and then mash it up? Yes, they have that right. Does God have the right to make a human being for his own purpose? Because what we notice here, this person born blind, lived to be an adult, and went through all the inconveniences from childhood to adulthood, just so that when Jesus Christ come on the scene, Christ could heal him to demonstrate the power and the grace of God. God has that right. But suffering is involved. Are we all there? Ladies and gentlemen, I ask the question, why God permit godly men and women to suffer? Look at Job chapter 11, verse 7 through 9. Job 11, 7 through 9. Let us hear it. Job 11, verse 7 through verse 9. Start again. Canst thou by searching find out God? Wait. Brothers and sisters, it is not an unusual thing for you and me to find some things difficult to understand about God. That's not unusual. Why? As great as we think we are limited. We are finite. God is infinite. God is unlimited. There is no way we can grasp, fathom, understand all of God. Don't move from the passage. Can't thou, by searching, find out God? Read. Can you find out God totally and completely?
It is as high as heaven.
What can you do? It is deeper than hell.
What canst thou know?
All of these words are telling us how unfathomable God is. You know, I always enjoy, I have stated here many times, that only as we get to know Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, will we get to know ourselves better. That's a fact. The ungodly men and women out there in the world don't understand themselves. You know one of the reasons? They do not know anything about God. And for us to know ourselves a little better, we need to know more about God. This is why Peter asked Jesus Christ to leave him. When Peter get to know Jesus Christ a little better, as seen in the book of Mark chapter 6, verse 20 following. Or rather 21, let us hear it quick, brother.
Mark 6:21
following.
And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday...
Well, I give you the wrong passage there. John... I think Luke chapter 5. Let me hear Luke chapter 5, brother.
Verse 1?
Verse 4 following, I think.
Okay. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master,
we have
toiled all the night and have taken nothing.
We haven't caught any fish.
Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.
Nevertheless, at thy word, we will still, even though we are fishing that area all night and caught nothing, at your word, we will do what you say.
That's right.
Read.
And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break.
Read on.
And they beckoned on their partners.
They called the other fishermen. Read on.
Which were in other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink.
Read, brother.
When
Simon Peter saw it, saw what? Watch here.
He fell down.
Simon Peter saw the power of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Simon Peter get to know God better.
That's right.
Simon Peter get to know Jesus Christ, our Savior, better.
That's right.
That brings to Simon consciousness his own limit.
temptation,
his own sinfulness, because he get to know Jesus Christ better.
That's right.
And therefore he said,
he fell down at Jesus' knee, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.
You notice what brought out his confession? Getting to know Jesus Christ better. It helped Simon to see himself in a better light, in a truer light. It's the same with us. The more you and I know God, know Jesus Christ, know the Holy Spirit, is the more we will know ourselves and see ourselves in a better light. The passage the brother was reading in the book of Mark, chapter 6, before I move on, I need to just drop a point there. There's the fact of how John the Baptist lost his life. Watch here now. If you never heard about John the Baptist, this was a godly man who preached God's word in its truthfulness and entirety. He lost his life for no other reason other than that. Where a dignitary had his birthday feast, and a young lady was encouraged to ask for John the Baptist's head. Why God permit that? Remember, I'm still on the point that there are secret things about God which are altogether unknown. We will never know them. Why the Almighty God stood by? Here is a man who dedicated himself to preaching God's word in its purity. And simply because he preached God's word the way he did, the way God wanted, somebody hated him and asked for his head. And the king had that right and did cut off John the Baptist's head. Why God permit that when God had the power to stop that? You and I will never or may never know the true answer to that in this life. There are so many things about God that is past finding out. Let me run down now a few things. What effect should the secret things belonging to God have on us? Brother Mitchell, please repeat that. What effect that you and I are aware, we are told, at least here in the book of Deuteronomy 29:29. We are also told in the book of Ephesians about things that were hidden in God from before the world began. What effect should that have on you and me? Should it have any effect? Yes. One, the secret things of God should humble us. The secret things of God should humble us to see how limited, how ignorant, and how incompetent we are to understand the divine works and ways. That's one of the effects the secret things of God should have on us. It should make us humble to understand that we are limited. Because, brothers and sisters, even if God should divulge the things which he has kept secret, there are so many of them you and I could never understand with all the great capacity that he has given us. They are beyond us. It should humble us, helping us to see that we are limited human beings. We are ignorant human beings. We are incompetent human beings. And the passage we read in Job chapter 11, verse 7, that was read just now, that it doesn't matter how you research, you cannot find out God. There's a second thing that the secret of God should have on us in respect to effect. We must leave secret things with God to whom they belong.
That's right.
I need to repeat that. Things that are God's secret. Remember what the passage says? The sacred things belongeth unto God, but the things that are revealed belongeth unto man. Things that God did not reveal, we should leave them be. Brother Mitchell, where Cain got his wife?
That's right, that's right.
If God wanted you and me to know where Cain got his wife, wouldn't he tell us? But I ask you another question. In what way would that help you to be a better person or a better Christian when you know where Cain got his wife? Now you tell me now, in what way would that help you? And the men and women out there who throw that at you, you see, they want to reflect negatively on the Bible, you know, when they come up with those foolishness. You tell me, Christian, where Cain get his wife? Just turn the question back on the person. In what way would that help you when you know Cain got his wife? What is the point? Leave God's secret things to God.
That's right.
At least we know this, that Cain's wife must have been one of his sisters. How we know that? Because Adam and Eve were the beginning of the race. We know that. God made that plain. The Bible states that. Human beings, the human race started with Adam and Eve. That much we know. Brothers and sisters, so we must leave the secret things to the Almighty God. Are we all there? Look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 through 4. Quick, time gone. Daniel 12, 2 through 4.
And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake.
Many men and women who die shall be resurrected. Great. Daniel, Brother Vivian, was prophesying about that would come some 400 or 500 years after this. That is after Daniel. He was prophesying about the age of Christianity. Read on.
Some to everlasting life.
Some to everlasting life.
And some to shame.
Doesn't that sound like New Testament? Daniel was prophesying about New Testament time. Read on.
And everlasting contempt.
Read on.
And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament.
Remember, we were at this passage last week, at least part of it. Those that be wise shall shine like the
brightness of the firmament.
Brightness of the firmament.
And they that turn many to righteousness.
And they that turn many to righteousness. Brother Mitchell, what is that talk about? Evangelism. You leading right. Men and women to Christ.
That's right.
Telling them that they need Christ. Giving them a track. Inviting them to worship. Are arranging for somebody to teach them. What will happen to those that lead others to Christ?
As the stars.
They shall shine as the stars of heaven.
Forever and ever.
What verse is that?
Verse 3.
Read verse 4.
But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end.
May I? Don't move, brother. Remember what we are on. First, we said leave God's secret things to God to whom they belong. That's where we are. And this, Daniel was instructed, shut up the book. Knowledge shall increase. It's not for you to know further than you have known Daniel. That was verse 4, brother.
Yes.
Step down to verse 8 and 9.
And I heard, but I understood not.
I heard, but I didn't understand. It's the same Daniel. Read.
Then said I. Oh, my Lord. What shall be the end of these things?
You see, I heard and I didn't understand, so I'm going to make some inquiry. Nothing wrong in asking questions.
Right.
But when the question asks is delving into God's secret, God's still not going to tell you. Read on, brother.
And he said,
God responded to Daniel's question.
Go thy way, Daniel.
Go thy way.
For the words are closed up. And sealed. Till the time of the end.
In other words, it's not for you to know.
That's right.
It's God's secret. May I? Still on God's secret. There are times when the Almighty, when Jesus Christ had to tell his disciples to mind your own business. Brother Mitchell, how comes I've read through the Bible many times and I've never seen that? Yes, Jesus Christ had to tell. Look, first look at Acts of the Apostle 1, 6 and 7. Acts 1, 6 and 7. Read. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. What we are doing is helping you further to understand the nature of God's secret. We delved in some things last week. We are delving in another aspect this week, looking on what effect should God's secret have on us. We first point out that it should humble us. Because that God of some things that we will never know in this life should make us humble when we see our limitation and our ignorance and our incompetence. The second thing we should learn about God's secret is that we should leave God's secret to God. That's where we are now. Let us hear the passage.
When they, therefore, were come together.
When Jesus Christ, after his death, burial, resurrection, watch here, Jesus Christ, within a short while after this, will be ascended to heaven. When they, therefore, were come together. Read,
They asked
Jesus Christ a question.
Saying, Lord,
at this time
restore
the kingdom to Israel? Wait, get the question. We accept you as a king. We have been told by God's word that a king would come to redeem Israel. Now that you have died and resurrected, are you going to now establish your kingdom? Of course, they have a completely different concept of the kingdom than Christ had. Read on.
And he said unto them.
Jesus Christ said to them.
It is not for you to know
the times
or the season.
Wait. It's not your business to know the time and the season. That's right. But listen, Jesus Christ correcting his disciple on another occasion, John 21, 22, 22. Mind your own business. Let us hear it. John 21, last chapter.
Then Peter
Then Peter,
turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also learned of his birth at supper.
Wait. Then Peter turned around and saw John the beloved, who usually leaned on Jesus' breast. By this time, watch here, they were surmising from what Jesus Christ had said about the one who betrayed him. They had surmised something there, but they were wrong. When they saw the one who Jesus loved, that is John the Beloved, the following, read, brother.
Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?
The one who betray you, Jesus Christ, what shall be his end? What will his end be? Notice Christ's frank and sharp response.
Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry,
if I want that he remain,
till I come back,
that is till I return.
What is that to thee?
Is that your business?
Follow me.
Jesus Christ was telling Peter, his close follower, his faithful follower, there are some things it's not your business, Peter. If I want the person who betrayed me, or if I want John who leaned on my breast, to stay until I come, what business is that of yours? When Jesus Christ said, follow me, Christ was saying, mind your own business. Pay attention to the things that belong to you. We have not yet gotten to, you know, secret things belong to God. That's what but we have not yet gotten the things that are revealed. Because when we get there, that's the very point that Jesus Christ raised here, that you must pay attention to the things that belong to you. You must try to understand it. You must try to relate to it properly. You must try to embrace it. The things that belong to you. Leave alone the things that does not belong to you. And last but not least, may I get this, brothers and sisters, the secret things of God. May I get this? We should not feel uneasy. We should not feel dissatisfied. We should not feel cheated. We should not feel left out when we leave the secret things to the great and wise God. We should not feel that God has cheated us by having some secret of his own. It's very important that we keep this in mind. Because in spite of God's secret, God has given us his revealed will. His will is fully understood. And his plan of salvation is full of redeeming mercy. God has given us those. So we should not feel left out because there are some things that God in his wisdom feel we are not ready for. In spite of God's secret, he has graciously given us all things relating to life and godliness. All things. May I? Jesus Christ did not feel left out because God kept some secret from him. Brother Mitchell, what did you say? That God kept some secret from Jesus Christ? Yes. There are some things that Jesus Christ didn't know. There are some things that Jesus Christ told us that God kept from him. And in fact, this is a very good point to close with. It is seen in the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 31 and 32. There are some things that Christ didn't know, but Jesus Christ did not feel. Cheated, left out, or any negative feeling. Let us hear that passage quick. Mark 13, 31, follow. Read aloud.
Heaven and earth shall pass away,
uh-huh,
but my word shall not pass away.
We too must keep that in mind. God's word will not pass. Whatever God's word says, it's going to come to pass. Read, brother.
But of that day and that hour know it no man, no, not the angels.
Wait. Of that day
and that hour know it no man.
The day of judgment.
No, not
that
the angels.
That hour knows no man. Not the angel
which are in heaven, neither the Son, but
wait,
the Father.
Wait, brother, take time that. Angel doesn't know that day. That is, angel in heaven doesn't know that day. They do not know that day. The Son, who is that? Jesus Christ. He too does not know the day that judgment is going to come. At least not while he was on earth. But my brother, let me tell you why God didn't tell us that day. Brothers and sisters, I close. If man doesn't know that day and still trying to trick himself, are we all there? Still trying to trick themselves. There are men and women who believe there is a God. And while they have good health, they go about their businesses every day. They know they are to turn their life over to God. But you know what they are waiting on? Until they hardly can move. Until they don't have the strength to enjoy sin anymore. Until they are on their sick bed, they hope to say, God have mercy. They think they can trick God. They are tricking themselves. What I'm saying, if God does not let us know and man is still playing with their soul, can you imagine if God had divulged to us the exact time he's coming for any one of us? Many of us would not be in the church now. That's right. Jesus Christ said that while he was on earth, he didn't know. Did Christ feel left out? No. That's a secret that God kept to himself. I imagine Christ knows now, but not while he was on earth. So I'm saying, brother, we should not feel left out. Because God has kept some secret for us, and I may just give you a little broader here, that whatever God has thought proper and necessary to meet all of man's physical and spiritual need, God has revealed that to us. Whatever God felt we need for our physical existence, and for our spiritual well-being, God has given it to us. And the passage I quoted just now, taken from 2 Peter 1, chapter 1 and verse 3, that the Almighty God has given us all things relating to life and godliness. The passage is saying everything that we need to exist and everything that we need for our spiritual life, God has supplied it to us. Thanks be to God for the wisdom and graciousness of God. So don't let God's secret throw you off. There's no need for it to do that. because the Almighty God has made provision to meet all of our needs. If you are here today, if you are a child of God who has grown weak, you are backslidden, or you are drifting, Jesus Christ calls you now. In grace, in mercy, Christ says, come, make a recommitment to him. If you are a man or woman in this audience who have never become a Christian the Bible's way, Christ has given you this moment. Remember the passage we have just shared with you? The last passage, that all things we need for life and for godliness, God through Christ has supplied them to us. You can become a Christian today as we stand and sing. You need to hear his word, you have heard it. You need to believe in Jesus as Christ, as Lord. You need to repent. You need to confess faith in Christ. And you must be baptized to get your sins removed. As we sing, Jesus Christ has come.